the world's largest hockey show, expected to draw thousands of fans to the EY Center. And who else would be right smack dab in the middle of it than Liam Maguire? Mr. Maguire, good Friday morning to you. How are you?
That's because there's a bar there too, fellas. Hey, let's get the priority straight here.
How could there not be?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great to be on, guys. Great to be on. Great to hear your voices, and you're doing a great job, Lee, filling in for JR. And thanks very much for giving us an opportunity here to plug the world's largest hockey show.
Well, yeah, let's start with that and what people can expect. I mean, I talked to a number of people to be able to kind of get an idea of what's going on, and we're going to do some things next week as well. But, you know, one of the things that was front and center was – Paul Henderson and Yvon Cormier are coming to town, and Liam Maguire is going to be there interviewing and kind of putting on a show for people. And I don't care how many times, Liam, and you might have done this 250 times, it's still special, I think, for people every time they get a chance to listen to you talk to those guys.
Well, this will be incredibly special. First of all, it's literally a month out from the 50th anniversary. I mean, the series started Saturday, September 2nd, 72. It's the greatest month in the history of the sport. Certainly the most impactful, greatest from a Canadian point of view, but even the Russians feel the same way about it. It was validation for them in a large extent. But we've got two of the main guys that contributed to that final goal, and in Paul and Yvon, and the iconic photo there in it, and it's just a thrill to have them there. So they're there on Sunday on the main stage with me, as you said it too. And we've got Gary Smith as well, who wrote Ice War Diplomat. Gary was actually, and Simmer, you met him at Liam Maguire's that night, if you remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gary showed up. He was
working at the embassy, was he not?
That's right, exactly. Yeah. He was working at the Canadian embassy in Moscow and in 72, and he was the one who contacted the Russian newspaper men who wrote that maybe it's time for our Russian players to find a way to play the Canadian best players, because they'd been having their way with them for about 15 years, right? The Russians in the late 50s, early 60s started really dominating international hockey, playing our senior teams. So that's really how it all started. Gary's going to come up and join me first, and then he'll finish, and then Yvon and Paul are going to come up with me on the Sunday. So that will be just amazing. I'm really looking forward to it. We've got Claude Giroux, one of Ottawa's newest members of the Senators, of course. Although he's from Hearst, we all know he came here to play Junior A and play in Cumberland, went over to Hull, and he's been just a fantastic pro, and he'll be an outstanding Senator, and he'll be on this main stage with me on Saturday. We've got Johnny Upton from Slapshot fame, the captain of the Chiefs, baby, is going to be here.
Come on.
Alan Nichols. Oh, yeah. Alan Nichols is coming in with Kerry Goulet, who's coming from Toronto with his Stop Concussions booth. They'll be there doing shows and have a booth there. And not only has he got the captain of the Chiefs, who's going to be there, but he's got Zenon Konopka coming in as well. So Z's going to be there on the weekend in the booth with Kerry Goulet and Stop Concussions. And we all know how popular Z was here with the 67s. Got the Zach Bell hockey trick shot artist. I mean, this guy is just a ninja with a hockey stick. He's putting on his show. We've got Stompin' Tom Connors tribute from Chad Matthews. I was just in Prince Edward Island, as you said earlier, Simmer, and just a fantastic 5 days working down there for their Boys and Girls Club operation. And Chad Matthews does a stomping Tom Connors impersonation. A tribute, I should say, not impersonation. And Terry Marcotte is coming as well to sing Johnny Cash tunes. I mean, what's an event, man, if you don't got Terry standing up there with the guitar? And I mean, it's just endless. If you go online and check the schedule, the Hockey Hall of Fame is going to have an exhibit. We've got an exhibit coming for Team Canada 72, let alone having Paul and Yvon there. I'm going to be around most of both days, talking as much hockey as I can, doing as much hockey trivia as I can, and hopefully just seeing hundreds and hundreds of people. As I said, it's just they've got this thing. Kensel Tracy and Stuart Graham have done an outstanding job setting this up. I mean, it's $20 to get in for the weekend if you want to go both days. Like, it's $20. If you have a child under the age of 12 with an adult, they get in for free. So kids under 12 are in for free. It's $20 if you want to come both days. It's $20, obviously, for the one, but if you want to come back, it's $20 for the two, same price. You know, I mean, you can't beat it. DY Center, anyone who's been there, it's incredibly spacious. There's tons of parking. It's up by the airport. It's an easy drive. You can circle around. There's no reason to go anywhere near the Queensway. And you know, you can't beat it. It's the largest hockey show in the world in terms of exhibitors and what we've got planned for the stage. And I'm thrilled they've asked me, and I feel I should be there, and I'm going to light it up large. And it's just going to be amazing.
Liam, yeah, you got to get Lucky Ron there, have the car parked in front, just like you do downtown here. Back to the Soviet part, I want to ask you from 72, was the Aerostar Hotel at that time owned by a Canadian? And did the team stay there? Do you know any of the background on that?
To my knowledge, yes and yes, but I mean, Gary would be the guy to confirm that, but that's what I always believe, Simmer.
Yeah, I had a chance to stay there, and I always thought that was kind of a cool element. And also from a Paul Henderson perspective, give us a little update on how Paul's feeling.
Yeah, he's feeling great. Okay. You know, he's in year 11 with leukemia, and obviously the experimental drugs that saved his life in 2011. I mean, I was told by everybody that knew him back then he wasn't going to see Christmas of 2012. They gave him experimental drugs. Those drugs are now available. They are in circulation. He was one of the initial people that flew to Maryland for the testing, and the tumors shrunk, and God willing and God love it, it saved him. And he maintains a strict diet, obviously, and you know he's very cautious during COVID and everything, but he's coming up. He's in great health, he's in great spirits, he's really pumped to see Yvonne again. I mean, everybody that was on that roster, and sadly we've lost a few, you know, just in the last 12 to 18 months, it's been so sad, but anybody that was on that roster, and I've emceed for those guys, you said it earlier there, Lee, I mean, I started emceeing for those guys in 2000, and I have done probably in excess of 50 events with the core of them, and they have a special bond. And what they went through, how they came together, and that whole story is, well, that's why those specials are coming out next month. You know, CBC is a four-part documentary, and then Robbie Hart from Montreal has one that I've got a few lines in, and that's a special. The other one is a four-part documentary, so... this is it, really, right? It's the 50th anniversary. There'll be very little probably done or said about it other than the actual anniversary going forward on September 28th. But this is probably it, really, the big blast. And I'm just thrilled to have Paul and Yvonne there, obviously, as you know, Simmer, a hardcore Hab fan. And Yvonne's my favorite of all time. And these guys are personal friends of mine now. So I cannot wait. Cannot wait to be on stage with them. I'm super jacked for it. And anybody that's there is going to maybe see them, you know, for maybe one of the last times, you know, certainly together. And I think if you're a fan of history at all, and if you understand the impact of that series, or certainly if you remember it, if you're old enough, because very quickly here, we've gone to the back nine of our lives. And if you remember it, then come on out. I mean, you won't be disappointed. And I mean, we got Claude Giroux on Saturday, and I've known Claude for 20 years. So this is just going to be just an outstanding weekend. Just cannot wait.
Liam, let's get to some Habs talk. Who should be the next captain of the Montreal Canadiens?
I'd give it to Suzuki myself personally. If I had a choice of the C, I mean, I'd go to Brendan you know, I would try and do it, I guess, as tactful as possible. I mean, lineage or, you know, certainly chronologically and everything else, and the way he plays his heart and soul. But, you know, I would use other examples in the past and just say, look, I think Suzuki is the guy that's the up-and-comer, and I'd give it to him. If they go Brendan, I'm fine with that too. You know, I mean, he's been the heart and soul of that club for a decade plus, so, you know, I think he, you know, looking for a bounce-back year from him if he can make it through hopefully 70 of the 82 games I'm hoping for, I don't know if we'll ever see a 30-goal season out of him again, but I think he can still score 20, and there's no pressure on them this year. I totally agree with you. Slakowski, not just him, but there's a ton of other guys that are eligible that sit out this thing every year, and it's ridiculous. I wish it was in the CBA that everybody that was eligible had to play in the World Junior. And think about the World Championship that tournament would become if everybody that was eligible would play in it. It would be amazing. You know, it's not called the World Junior overseas. They don't reference it as that. It's called U20. That's what it is. It's a double IHF event. It's U20. It's supposed to be the best 19-year-olds. And we've never had that. Like, we've had that three times in three lockouts. That's the only time. And we've still won more than anybody since we won our first gold in 82, which you also referenced earlier, Simmer, in Minnesota. And one of the linesmen there was Jimmy Pechnik, God rest his soul. I mean, he was first Canadian to lines in the World Junior, and he was down in Minnesota. He's passed away.
Well, let's get back to that original spot. I'm going to say this, and it's not even being controversial. Do you not think that that'd be the craziest thing ever, Liam? Because there is nothing more prestigious, but there is nothing more pressured than to be the captain of the Montreal Canadiens. And I don't care when you say there's no pressure. Suzuki already had a down year in the start of his first contract, new contract. Putting the burden of the captaincy of the Montreal Canadiens on a young player, do you not think that that would just be ridiculous? Like, I think it's Gallagher all day long for the next 2 or 3 years. Do you not think that that burden, because I don't see how that adds anything to the player other than sucking energy and adding more pressure to them in what is going to be a real rough 2 or 3 years?
Well, it's a good point, but I think because he's been there now for a couple of seasons, it's not like when they gave the C to a Lindros or some of the other younger guys, Landeskog, some of the guys who got it at 19, 20 years of age. In Montreal, I think he's got a couple of seasons under his belt. He got a Stanley Cup final, and then you come back and you finish last, and you went through the ringer with everything that happened off the ice, on the ice with the team, the mental health with the guys, and so much else. So I think he's and the guys today are not like it was a generation ago. And what I'm worried about, too, is just Brendan's ability to play game in and game out. And then all of a sudden you don't have a C. I think Suzuki's more durable. I think he's able to handle the pressure. I don't think there's any expectation on the team at all this year. Everybody's got them, and I think rightfully so, penciled bottom five. They'll be in the Bedard sweepstakes, more than likely. And I have no problem giving the C to Suzuki for those reasons. But, your point's well taken, but there's no exact science to this other than what's gone on in Montreal and Toronto, to a lesser extent here. But, in other cities, but certainly Montreal and Toronto, is the social media and the fan bases, they eat their young. Like, you have a bad period now as a player and social media blows up. And I don't care who you are. You can try and ignore it as best you can. So I think Suzuki's done a good job with the blinders on. And I've watched all the comments and all the interviews he's done going through the time he's been in Montreal. And I think he could more than handle putting the C on. I mean, it's a big thing to wear the C in Montreal, but I don't think it's like it was when the boys were, when Gainey gave it to Savard, and Cornway gave it to Savard, and Savard to Gainey, and Gainey to Chelios and Carbonneau. I mean, it's, that really was passing the torch. I don't really feel that, even as a Habs fan right now, that's the case. So I'm okay if it goes to Suzuki, but Gallagher, I just think this is an example where in 2003, when John Tortorella took over Tampa Bay and he took the C off of Vinny LeCavalier and gave it to Dave Vaynerchuk, you're not in a situation here where you've got a team that you think is aspiring to greatness, which Tampa was, or in Calgary where they took it off Craig Conroy and gave it to Jerome Iginla, or where they took it off Eric Desjardins and gave it to Keith Primeau. I mean, these are different scenarios back in the day where I think you had to make that move because you had a team on the verge of doing special things on the ice. And I don't see that here in Montreal. I think they've got a guy that they want to grow with the franchise here for all time. And Galli, I just, worry about his health. So I'd give it to Suzuki. But like I said, man, if it goes to Galli, great. I'd be just as thrilled.
Liam McGuire joining us here on TSN Mornings, OttawaHockeyShow.com. It's going to happen next week on the 20th and 21st at the EY Center. Liam ran down a whole bunch of things that are going to happen. We'll talk a little bit more as the interview goes along. But just do want to ask you, Liam, World Juniors going on right now, Canada 2-0 so far. But just how you're feeling about everything that's gone on here with Hockey Canada, as, unfortunately, the kids bearing some of the brunt of what's happening at the top levels. They seem to be pushing it aside quite nicely. They haven't had great competition, but a tough spot, I think, for some of these kids here in the middle of the summer. They're not playing in front of big crowds, and with everything going on with Hockey Canada, not the easiest of circumstances for the players.
No, it isn't. And obviously it's gut-wrenching and just so... just so terrible, everything that's gone on. And when stuff gets unearthed and comes back from years later, it's a murky situation. I have a little bit of a conflict of interest in that. A very close friend of mine was involved in the operation of Hockey Canada for a number of years and did an outstanding job. And I know some of the stuff that went on, and I know the great efforts that he went to to ensure that the right things were done at that time. Now, he's no longer with them, but anybody that still is, anybody that's in that infrastructure hierarchy of Hockey Canada from 2018 should not be there. They should have resigned, and minimally, they should have resigned. Now, in terms of the reaction, the cancel culture tree huggers out there that just want everybody shot and hung anytime there's a mistake made in public, I don't, you know, that's just white noise to me. So at the end of the day, my own opinion is anybody that was there in 2018 should have resigned. I mean, the impropriety that now with the investigation being reopened and all the rest, and it is unfortunate. These guys today, this coaching staff, Dave Cameron, his staff, the players, Mason McTavish, you're talking about him all morning here. I mean, he's a man amongst boys. Anaheim looks like they got a blue chipper. This guy was playing golf at Rideau 3 weeks ago. I mean, you know, he just said, I can't wait. Like, he just absolutely lives to have the boots on, man, with the blades and go. And the crowds, I think, are reflective of the month, reflective of the fact they're going to jam a couple in here, reflective of course, what's gone on off the ice. And reflective of the fact that, you know, you're playing in August. People are finishing up summer vacations and stuff. They'll increase. The crowds will get better. But, Simmer, you said it yesterday. I think December will be a better gauge as to where everybody's feelings are on this. And maybe, too, when there's some closure. What exactly, legally, if anything, is going to come out of this? And it's just so disheartening, you know. I'm a parent. I've got two children, including a daughter. And I can't pass judgment on incidents that we certainly know nothing about, but I'll know this. If it was my daughter was involved in something like that, I mean, I'd be pretty easy to find. I'd be on the front page the next day and then going to jail. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the way. It's just really, really unfortunate and terrible that anything allegedly happened. And now you got to get to the bottom of it. And this team and Hockey Canada are paying a price. And I just, my own opinion, I feel the guys that anybody that was involved in the hierarchy employed by Hockey Canada in 2018 should resign.
That's yeah, and I think at the end of the day, Liam, if you truly care about the game, there's just times to step aside, you know, whether or not you're necessarily a part of it, you know, but hey, you have to end up cleaning house. And I guess what is your confidence level? Certainly Bedard, I thought Dave Cameron, you couldn't ask for a better representative as you're trying to turn the page. As you look forward to Christmas time, the Maritimes is unbelievable. Do you think with a new group in place that it will be enough time where we can get back to celebrating these young men?
I think so, too. And I think I'm not mistaken. I think you've said that yourself even yesterday. I mean, the day before, it's where I think if we are fortunate enough to get to the gold medal game, and, you know, I got to say we've got a real good chance at that, I think you'll see it reflected in the crowds. They may not be, you know, a flag waving, you know, 15,000 going absolutely nuts like we've seen so many times in our past, but I think it's going to be somewhat similar to that. And I think the page will get turned. That's the other thing about the immediacy of social media and the world and our phones that we live on today and the way we conduct our lives today is people can't wait to forget about what happened 15 minutes ago, good, bad, or indifferent. So I really do believe it will get moved along. And if you watch the comments online, and I hate to go back to it, but it's the quickest way to get a sense of what everybody's feeling in the immediate moment. And it's running about 20%, right? You got 20% of the people are critical and saying, you know, cancel culture, cancel Hockey Canada, shut everything down. Of course, none of them are hockey fans. It just gives them an opportunity to pontificate and go on and be negative because that's what they live for. They get up in the morning for that very reason. But the others are saying, hey, come on, don't throw Cameron and this team under the bus and Mason and Connor and these guys and you know, Ridley Gregg and all the rest. And it's these guys are not responsible for any of that. So let's support them as we have all the others through the years. And so I think that's what's going to happen here. We're going to turn the page. It's our sport. Always has been. 72 solidified it, and it's been that way for 50 years. And we've dominated it internationally for 50 years. And we will through my lifetime. And it's just fantastic. And they will turn the page. And I can't wait for the rest of this series. We were watching on the patio at Rideau last night after our round. Pat Moran, one of my guests, set it up on his phone. We watched the whole second period on his phone, sitting on the patio drinking pints. So, you know, I'm all in. They scored 11. I wanted to make it 15. I didn't care. Just light it up large. Anytime anybody has a Canadian sweater on, men or women, boys or girls, light it up large.
Are you hoping for overtime so you could have more pints, or what was going on there?
No, I don't need OT for that, sir.
That's true. You're always in OT. How's the golf game, and how's Rideau looking?
Well, one of those is good.
Oh, okay. You're there an awful lot. Do you actually play or just hang out?
Okay? I was 85.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's you know what? It's a struggle for me right now. I can't putt. I've lost my putting stroke, but I'm pounding it off the tee, which is critically important because I love to hit things hard. So it's great to pound it off the tee, and I'm just going to try and find my way. We've got the club championships. Tonight we've got the long drive contest at Rideau View. It's become an annual event for a number of years. We've got 13 guys who are probably 13 of the longest in the city, and they're going to be going at it tonight for some prize money and the betting. It's just a fantastic event. We bring the beer cart right down to the range there. We're all set up at our brand-new range at Rideau. It's like a big amphitheater. Going to be people just sitting there on a beautiful Friday night watching these guys just smoke balls 350. I mean, it's just a sight to behold. And then the club championship for the rest of us starts tomorrow and Sunday. So it's just a spectacular weekend at Rideau View coming up, and the next weekend at the EY Center. So just giving her, boys.
What a shocker that you like to hit things hard and you can't putt. Really tough to figure out why it's your golf game's not very good. Let's just get to the hockey show once again here, Liam, before we go. OttawaHockeyShow.com. It's going to happen Saturday and Sunday, the 20th and 21st of August. It will be at the EY Center. And you kind of went over it before, but as you said, a fan of history, Paul Henderson, Yvon Cormier are going to be there. I think one of the more interesting people that are going to be there is Gary Smith, the diplomat. He's got a book coming out, right, about all the things that happened along the way, which would be, you know, just terrific to listen to. So maybe just take us through a little bit of what people can expect when they walk in the doors. What are they going to get at the world's largest hockey show?
Well, I think people have been attending trade shows of different types for years and even lots of sports shows, so you probably have an idea. The doors open at 10 o'clock. This is $20 to get in, kids under 12 free, as I said earlier. And if you want to come back Sunday, your ticket's still good, so it's $20 for the weekend. But it's like any other show. You're best to the actual layout is online. You can go online. You can see, like, the Hockey Hall of Fame's got a display coming. You've got a display coming from the Summit Series. We've got live entertainment, both days, musical and stage shows, of which I'm a part of. You've got, as I said, you've got the captain of the Chiefs coming from Slapshot, man. I mean, seriously, he's coming, baby. So we're going to talk some old-time hockey, man, about the Chiefs. Holy lifted, I can't wait. And Ben Z, I love Z. Zenon Konopka is going to be there. They're with Carey Goulet in the Stop Concussions booth. So look for that one. Carey, everyone knows, has Gooch, does an outstanding job, and he's coming up with his show from Toronto, and he's going to be there. You guys are there. There's a booth, TSN 1200 has a booth, and some of the other media outlets.
Yep, I'm going to be there on Saturday. Can't wait.
Well, there you go, buddy. So I'm going to see you, first round on you, Lee. Let's go.
Yeah.
And, we'll get a pint into us and see what's going on. And it's, I'm just there all weekend, man. Just going to, on stage, off stage, just talking hockey nonstop. And it's just going to be Zach Bell, trick shot artist. If you don't know anything about this guy, he's all over YouTube. Check it out. You see it in person, just blows your mind. And he's former junior A player, so he comes from it legitimately. You've got Chad Matthews tribute band to Stompin' Tom, as I said earlier. I mean, he does a fantastic job. And I just love Terry. We just did a Terry was just last time I saw him, he got up and sang at the tribute night for Les Emerson on Bronson at the Bronson Center. And it's just a special thing that he does. And a beloved local sportscaster here and in the hearts of Ottawa people. So I think we've got laid out the best possible scenario for Ottawa, and I dare say Canada. I think it's as good as you could get. When you add in all those elements and you throw in the NHL expert of the world, Liam Maguire, we're good to go.
There you go. Liam Maguire, I can't imagine anybody else doing this at the National Capital Hockey Show other than you. So I'm glad they were able to secure you to be able to lead us all through what should be a great weekend of hockey next weekend, the 20th and 21st. OttawaHockeyShow.com. Liam, always love the conversation. We'll catch up with you soon.
You got it, Lee. Thanks very much, buddy, for having me on. Simmer, great to talk to you, bud.
Always, brother. Have a great weekend.